Don't have time to read that research paper you saved? Chelsea and Olivia want to help you out. We know how it is. That's why we read it for you. Welcome to the Exercise Science Too Long Didn't Read podcast.
Hello again.
What's up?
It's that time again.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Let's talk about a paper.
A paper?
Yeah.
We've never done that before. What are we going to do?
Well, we'll just wing it and see how it goes.
So, my dear, what are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to talk about a research paper that compares unilateral and bilateral resistance training with one repetition max in the upper body.
And what are we hoping to find about one side versus two sides? Is it effectiveness or?
It's effectiveness and strength. So we're hoping to learn if one versus the other helps or impacts strength more.
I gotta say, being a right-handed person, I struggle with things more on the left arm.
Most people are that way. They have their dominant side.
Yes.
So other researchers show an increase in strength and performance in both the unilateral and bilateral movements, but the authors wanted to see if one had more gains than the other.
Okay. So this is muscle gain?
Strength gains.
Ah, okay.
So yes.
Same. Yeah. Not counting each individual muscle fiber, but are you able to bump up your weights in doing one sort of training over the other?
Yes.
Gotcha. Well, with that, it seems like we have some things to define, some definitions to get out of the way first. So dictionary.com and clinicaltrials.gov has given us some definitions for unilateral, bilateral, bilateral deficit, and main effect. So unilateral is relating to, occurring on, or affecting one side of an organ structure of the body. So when you do your left arm bicep curl and then move to your right arm, you do them separately. Or you alternate, you go left, right. That is a unilateral move, one side at a time. Bilateral, having or relating two sides or affecting both sides. So that's where you do both arms at the same time. Bilateral deficit is the inability of the neuromuscular system to generate maximal force when two homonymous limbs operate simultaneously with respect to force development when both limbs act separately. I need a definition for homonymous. Homonymous, can you use it in a sentence? No, I cannot. Unless the sentence is the inability of the neuromuscular system to generate maximal force when two homonymous limbs operate simultaneously with respect to force development when both limbs act separately.
So we know what homo is, right? It's same.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something affecting the same side.
So nemus means side?
No, it's affecting, like an effect.
So same effect?
Yeah.
Okay.
Affecting the same.
So the inability of the neuromuscular system to generate maximal force. So you cannot, is that just your rep max? Like I cannot eke out one more rep.
For force?
Yeah.
Force is like power. Force is like the amount of pressure you can put.
So I can do a 10-pound weight but not a 12-pound.
More like I can push over a 150-pound person, but not a 200-pound person.
Okay. So the inability to generate the maximal force when two limbs being affected the same operate simultaneously, so one at a time, with respect to force development. What's that?
Force development?
Yeah.
So you have your force, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So in your pushing somebody over analogy.
Yes. So what this definition is really saying is the inability for the body to generate maximal force for the muscles. So let's say both of my legs to act at the same time, whereas they act separately. So when they're acting together, you can't generate maximal force. But whenever they're acting at the same time, but not together, you can generate more of a maximal force.
It seems counterintuitive.
So
I feel like I could push more with both hands than with one hand.
That's just the definition.
No, that's fair. I'm just thinking, like, maybe it's how much I can push with one arm is more when using one arm. So let's say let's say my force pressure is 10 with one arm, but when I'm using both arms, each arm drops to 8, but my total force pressure is still 16. So in my mind, when I'm thinking I can push more with two arms, I can, but each arm individually has still dropped some.
That's how I understand it.
All right. If y'all know something different, write in, let us know. Because, yeah, I needed a definition for that definition. So bilateral deficit, it's when your individual something is less when you're using both of them.
Yeah.
We'll go with that for now.
Basically.
So our last definition is main effect. The effect of a single variable on a dependent variable, ignoring all other independent variables. It looks at possible interactions between variables. So the effect of a single variable on a dependent variable. What's that?
So it would be like, trying to think of an example.
If you're running, that's your speed is your dependent variable. The effect of a single variable on your running could be, are you running into the wind? And the wind is putting extra force against you, which is more resistance, which could cause you to run slower.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. So ignoring all other independent variables, so that could be temperature, time of day, like if the sun is in your face. So ignoring those, it's just trying to measure the effect of just the wind on your running speed. Wind in your face. Coming at you. And it looks at possible interactions between the variables. So does that mean how hot it is versus how windy it is?
No, it would be like how much is the wind affecting the speed?
Ah, okay. Cool. I think I'm at least sufficiently defined.
Well, good. Should we talk about the paper?
I know uni means one and bi means two.
So please, I'm going to say forgive me on these names before I even start, because this paper is by Lee, Abd Malik, Tan, Pratama, Muhammad, and Nadzilan.
Nadzilan.
Please forgive me. I did my best. This was published in February of 2021.
Oh, another new baby fresh out.
Yeah.
COVID was great for research. Everybody was locked up, so
I can finally write that paper.
Yeah, let me crank this puppy out. I got time to kill.
The title of the paper is The Effects of Unilateral versus Bilateral Resistance Training on Bilateral Deficit, unilateral and bilateral strength adaptation among trained men.
Ugh. Boys again?
Yes.
Ah.
And it was published in the Journal of Physics Conference Series.
Fine.
So the purpose of the study was to compare the use of unilateral and bilateral training on the bilateral deficit, unilateral and bilateral strength increases. So what they're wanting to do is to see if one training method is better than the other. And then they also wanted to look at the bilateral deficit and see how that is affected by the type of training.
So it doesn't sound like they were looking to determine which method helps you build strength faster or more quickly in a shorter time frame, but just overall, which method improves strength
more.
More.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we already know that both movements, bilateral and unilateral, help improve strength.
Mm-hmm.
So they just want to know how much. So in this study, the study is a little bit bigger. There's 30 men and an average age of 22. They're physically trained and they're familiar with resistance training. Participants did attend a familiarization session. Kudos to the researchers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then where they went over the chest press, and then they went over a bicep curl so that they could do unilateral and bilateral movements with both of those exercises.
Man, I've just done this year, I did a workout program that had a unilateral chest press, and I've never done one before.
It's weird, isn't it?
It feels so strange.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the point, you... It definitely adds in some core work for stabilization for sure. But yeah, it was a very strange feeling. I'm used to it it's helpful with shoulder presses, especially because my shoulders are a weak spot. And so I feel like if I alternate, you know, left arm, right arm on my presses, I can get through a set of 10 or 12 reps, whatever it is I'm doing that time. A bit easier. I mean, and I know why. I'm giving one side a break while the other side is going.
Mm-hmm.
But still, kind of whatever gets you through it, as long as you're using good form, right?
Sure. As long as it's good form. The participants then performed a one rep max test that was performed pre and post training. And then the participants were randomly assigned to one of three groups. They had a control group. Kudos to the researchers.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a unilateral group and a bilateral group based on their one rep max score.
Do you think they assigned them? So it says randomly assigned, but I wonder if they took their one rep max and then tried to make sort of an even spread between the bilateral and the unilateral groups. I don't know if that makes a difference if somebody has a higher weight on their one rep max versus somebody else, but
in order for it to be random, they must have classified them somehow before they randomized them based on what this is saying.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't really go into that much detail in their paper.
So this is chest press and bicep curl. I don't think I've ever tested mine, but what do you think your one rep max is on a
20?
A double dumbbell chest press.
Oh, chest press?
Yeah.
Oh. Right now?
I can do 20s now, 8 to 10 reps.
My one rep max is probably close to 80 right now because I'm really weak right now.
Dang. That's heavy. I don't think I could do that.
Mm-mm.
What are you doing on just the normal?
I used to rep out 80.
And then you said 20 for bicep curl. I wonder if I could. I might be able to do 20 on a bicep.
For one rep?
Yeah. It's definitely that point where you kind of just. Because I will test. I'll try and do a one rep test, especially if it's the following week on doing any sort of defined program. I'll do one and go, okay, you know, how hard was that? Do I think I could do 15s for this section or 12s or 20s or whatever it is? So It's the, I'm just trying to picture, like, could I even get past 90? Could I even get up to 90 degrees on a bicep curl with 20 pounds? And then all the, whether or not I could get it past 90 degrees and all the way up.
Maybe.
I don't know. Interesting. Okay. So they divided them up based on their one rep score. We've got, I wonder, you'll probably tell me here in a second, but what would the control group do that the unilateral and bilateral group is not doing?
They would not exercise.
Oh, duh.
Yeah, so like, the control
group. What normal exercise could they do that's different than the other two?
They would do nothing.
There's nothing.
Or they would just continue on with what they normally do, which would not be preferred. So each group performed at 75% of their one rep max at their training sessions, and then they did 3 sets of 10 repetitions with 2 minutes rest between exercises.
So 2 minutes between every third set or 2 minutes between each set of 10?
Between the exercises.
So they would do one rep and then wait 2 minutes?
They would do, so like I would do my 3 sets of 10 and then I would wait 2 minutes. They didn't say what the rest time was in between sets.
I feel like that makes a difference too, because I can, depending on if I get a 30 second rest or a 60 second break, determines can I make it through all 3 sets or not.
Exactly.
At that weight.
Exactly. So they did the chest press first, and then they followed it up with the bicep curl. So they did the larger muscle and then the smaller muscle.
Mm-hmm. And they're not doing the same muscle group. I mean, you use your biceps a little on a chest press. You kind of just have to, but that's fair.
Yeah, it's considered a secondary muscle. And the load was increased as the participants were able to complete more than 10 repetitions. So if they go on to 11 or 12 repetitions, then the participant was able to increase their weight. So they did sessions 3 times a week for 6 weeks, which is a really short amount of time to expect change, in my opinion. And then they did a post one rep
visually,
max.
Yes, but I mean, I can definitely bump up my weights at least every 2 weeks. In that sort of a format. So you can still have strength gains, even though you may not have very much.
Well, when you're doing a research
change.
When you're doing a research study, though, you want bigger changes. So 6 weeks is not very long for a lot of change.
If you're trying to measure a significant change, I guess that makes sense. That's fair.
They did post one rep max testing, and they completed that 2 days after the last training session.
So rest and then see if you can go heavier on a one rep.
Yep.
Yeah. I smell what they're stepping in.
Oh, yeah. And then as expected, both treatment groups significantly increased their unilateral and their bilateral one rep max test from pre to post training.
So did both groups have to do both? One rep max test?
They did.
Oh.
And that's where that bilateral deficit comes in, where they measured how it affected the unilateral training and the bilateral training affected the bilateral deficit. The control group did decrease, and it had a main effect. So that means that the decrease was pretty much, I mean, without it being significant, was significant.
Yeah,
it was
so
enough.
What does that tell us, class? No exercise is worse than some.
Oh, yeah. Especially because these were trained individuals to begin with, and then they told them not to exercise for 6 weeks.
Ugh, that would have been very hard.
That would be very hard. There were no significant differences in the bilateral deficit for unilateral or bilateral movements. They showed no bilateral deficit at all based on those results. So there were no significant differences between the two groups. Both increased in strength, which compared to the control group was the control group decreased.
I want to see them do a follow-up study on the effect of, I don't even know how to properly word this, but the effect of either maybe overall, like you can't, I don't think you can measure like overall fitness, but like where I'm going is like what we were talking about earlier with the chest press. When I'm doing two arms versus one arm at a time challenges, there's things that challenge your balance. They force you to engage other muscle groups or engage more intensely than you might have to if you're balanced, essentially. So that's what I would want to see the follow-up. So do you get more overall benefits either with strength or, I don't know, weight loss, fit, size, something? Is there some sort of overall health benefit that is better with one training method or another?
Mm-hmm. That would be interesting. What'd you learn today, Chelsea?
So many things. But yeah, not being somebody who went through this education path. Yeah, there's definitely some words and phrases where I'm like, okay, what? What does that mean? I don't understand. So yeah, anyway, I have also learned that it seems like nobody can give me crap if I'm doing a unilateral move.
That's true.
So if I'm going to do a tricep kickback and I'm going to do one arm at a time, and I've just recently bumped up to my 10-pound weights, for example, which I'm trying to get to, by the way. And that's huge. I've never done 10-pound tricep kickbacks in my life.
That's so exciting.
I know. So what that tells me is that I don't have to take any crap from anybody. If somebody's trying to tell me, well, that's not the proper way and you're never going to gain muscle mass by doing it that way, you're letting your one side rest too long. Well, now I can cite this study and tell them to hush their mouth, because this is clearly proven that both methods are the same effective.
Yes.
So that makes me happy.
It makes me happy too.
Mm-hmm.
So we learned that unilateral and bilateral movements are wonderful. They're both helpful with strength. And we've learned that the bilateral deficit was not found in this study.
We now have a tool that we can throw at people if they're trying to, you know, let me tell you something about you you don't know. Now you've got something to fire back at them with and be like, well, this study by all of these people right here recently has shown that you are incorrect.
Yes.
So maybe keep your mouth shut. Don't try to tell me what to do. Now, if I'm using improper form, feel free. Correct me.
Keep me
from injuring myself. But if I'm going to do one shoulder press at a time versus both at the same time, I do. I will tell you, that is a form killer for me, for sure. My lower back, that's a gut check. You got to squeeze them abs to do both arms at the same time overhead.
Well, and with your shoulder range of motion too, you need to do it one arm at a time.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense.
And that's a big part of it too, I think, is just my horrible shoulder shape.
Well, thank you all for listening today.
Yeah.
Hopefully you learned something as well.
I mean, we've learned a lot about what I can and can't do in the gym. It's very useful information if you're me.
It's true.
Or someone who's going to train me, which you have done on occasion.
I have.
We hope you have enjoyed your time with us this week. Hit us up on all the things, questions, comments, jokes. We love good jokes.
We do, especially dad jokes.
We're on Instagram. We're on TikTok. We're on Facebook.
Email.
Might get on Twitter. Hit us up. Check us out. Tell your friends. And have a great rest of your day.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening to the Exercise Science TLDR podcast show. If you want to hear more from us, please write a review and subscribe. Join us online at exerciscienctldr.com. Remember, if it's too long and you didn't read it, we read it so you don't have to.